Yeah, Ray Charles getting a lot of texts on the Oakland Art Jewelers talking text line at 504-260-1870. That's many people's favorite, most patriotic song on this Independence Day 2025, as together we celebrate the 4th of July. Many of you will be celebrating by going to large pyrotechnic demonstrations, seeing fireworks flying across the region. Many more will be doing fireworks at home, and that can be a little disconcerting for folks who own pets or who have animals who do not like loud noises and fireworks. So to help those folks out, we thought we'd have Dr. Claire Guichard join us, a veterinarian with the Lakeview Veterinary Hospital. Happy 4th of July, Dr. Guichard.
Same to you.
Glad you could be with us. I know this is a tough day for a lot of animal owners, and I guess I'm not supposed to use the word owners anymore, but a lot of people who have pets whose pets do not like, or animals do not like, fireworks. What tips do you have for folks who have animals who get anxiety, who freak out, who may even get so upset that they could injure themselves on this 4th of July?
Yes. It's unfortunate that, with this type of situation where it's storms or fireworks, loud noises like this, you know, every animal reacts differently. And it's actually more common that they do freak out a bit than it is handling it, you know, completely fine. And the thing about noise phobias is that they tend to not just get better on their own. So you might have a young dog, and this is, you know, his first 4th of July, and he seems a little nervous, but it's not that bad, so you kind of ignore it. It's not that big of a deal. But each time that it happens, you know, New Year's Eve, July 4th, more, you know, severe thunderstorms, his anxiety can start to really accelerate to the point that it becomes a huge problem. So I think the biggest takeaway would be pay attention to your dogs, kind of gauge the level of fear or anxiety that they have. You don't need to overreact, but mention it to your vet, because if they're starting to escalate, you want to try and get it sooner rather than later. It's a lot easier to prevent their anxiety than it is to kind of bring them down once that adrenaline's already coursing through them.
So there are things we can do before the fireworks start flying, steps we can take as pet parents to try and alleviate the problems that come from this. So what can we do?
So it's really good to have a routine. Perhaps, you know, you take your pet and put them in the bathroom or a closet or even the bedroom. Ideally, an area where you'd be able to turn on the TV, block the windows, kind of minimize some of that noise and flashing lights. You can also give them a high reward treat. So, you know, we don't want our pets to be overweight, but you can certainly give them peanut butter, a scrambled egg, like some grilled chicken if you wanted. And they only get that when you're doing this routine of, hey, let's turn on some classical music, let's dim the lights, like let's snuggle up, or go into your crate with a blanket over it and chow down on this peanut butter plate.
So that they understand that everything's going to be okay, essentially.
Correct. And instead of just like shoving them into the closet and leaving, where they're like, oh God, what's happening? You're providing that positive reward of, oh, this is really exciting. I get to have a treat I don't normally have. What are those noises I hear in the distance? I don't care because I'm so excited about this toy or treat that you gave me that I don't normally get.
Yeah, I've got peanut butter. So what that the world's blowing up outside?
And of course, for some dogs, that won't be enough. They'll be like, I do not want to eat. I am so terrified. You could give me a filet. And I'd be like, no. So for those dogs, you need drugs, right? You need to give them some type of anxiety medication. And we have things like, L-tryptophan or chamomile tea extract, CBD, things like that that you could try first. And if that's not enough, you can move on to prescription meds that, you know, your vet could tailor for your pet.
So in some extreme cases where a pet has so much anxiety to a point where they may create serious damage, I think of the movie Because of Winn-Dixie, and when mm-hmm. that dog just loses it and destroys the home, mm-hmm. essentially, during a mm-hmm. thunderstorm, or they may hurt themselves because they get mm-hmm. so wound up and they get running around so fast they're running into things and breaking things. Mm-hmm. You may actually want to at some point sedate that animal so they don't have to deal with the pressures of the noise of and sound and flashing of light of fireworks.
That's exactly right. And sometimes we even say, hey, start it the night before, start it the morning of. I mean, some dogs need to be pretty much knocked out, like just snooze through the whole 24 hours. Some dogs, you just need to give them a little something to take the edge off. So they're still able to, you know, get up and eat and walk around, but they're just toned down a little bit so that they're not doing exactly what you said, you know, drooling, pacing, being extra clingy, and even bursting through windows. Like we've had dogs, you know, you open the door, somebody needs to go get something and they dart out, or you try and take your dog out to go potty and, you know, a firework goes off and that's it. They're down the street running. So we usually recommend, you know, put a leash on them when you take them out, even if it's your own backyard, because like you said, they can scale the fence if they're that scared.
Yeah, I've been blessed that the dogs I've had over the years and the cats I have now have generally not had major issues with fireworks. But I did have a dog once that thought it appropriate to try and eat fireworks. Someone who would light a firework, they'd run after and try to grab it. So, yeah, we had to keep him on a leash so that he wouldn't, you know, go bite into an exploding firework. So, but I also don't know. I also know people though whose dogs really have such issues with it. In fact, I was talking to the owner of an Airbnb recently, and they were getting a number of requests for their short-term rental, wanting to know, are there many fireworks in the area near this home? Because there were people looking to leave their own houses and stay somewhere else where there wouldn't be the same kind of firework activity, specifically because they wanted to get their pets away from fireworks.
I do think that is so, I mean, that's just heartwarming, because obviously when you see your pet in distress and you're unable to soothe them, it's torturous, right? Like, you don't want to see your dog freaking out this much and feel so helpless to not be able to soothe them. So again, you know, the bottom line, we can help them. We can make this a more comfortable experience for everyone, but it isn't going to happen overnight. And, you know, luckily fireworks don't happen often. So it's not something we can really desensitize them to or expect them to just grow out of. But we can get them in the routine of having a thunder vest put on with the peanut butter. And then when they see that thunder vest, they're like, oh, this means really good things are going to happen. This is like a warm hug. And then when it's something scary, you can put that on and it will help them. Whereas if you only do these things when there's a storm or, you know, a firework happening, they can end up escalating that anxiety because they're like, uh-oh, this means the scary stuff's coming, you know?
Right. Yeah, and most vets' offices are not open today. It's a holiday. So for folks who do not already have sedatives or these calming medications that you mentioned, what should they do today and tonight? As, of course, tonight is the crescendo. It's the grand finale, as it were. There's going to be the most firework activity tonight from both the public displays and the private fireworks.
Right, right. Well, certainly I think focusing on maybe giving them, you know, a new treat tonight, something that's, you know, safe for dogs to ingest, even a little bit of baby food spread onto a plate can be, you know, something enticing, or you can even freeze it to make it a little bit harder for them to immediately ingest. And then playing the music or the TV, getting them like a little blanket or bed area to kind of settle into. And you can even sometimes try over-the-counter Benadryl. It's a milligram per pound. I find it doesn't always sedate them as much as it can in people. You know, it doesn't always make them as tired. But again, I know people are desperate when they see their poor dogs suffering like that. So these are all the tips that you can try for right now if you haven't been able to contact your vet. But certainly, even if it's not that bad tonight, which I hope it's not for everyone's pets, still contact your vet, because we don't want it to be worse come New Year's Eve, you know?
Talking with Dr. Claire Guichard, veterinarian with Lakeview Veterinary Hospital here on WWL. I know you don't probably see a lot of horses there in Lakeview, but we have heard from some listeners who say their horses can get spooked this time of year. Any advice you can share with horse owners on in terms of are their horses better off out in the pasture during this time of year, or more comfortable in their stalls, or any advice you have for horse owners?
Yeah, that's a very great question. Interestingly enough, almost all animals, I mean, even wildlife can end up being scared of these fireworks. And so it depends on your horse or your pet. You know, a lot of people have chickens in their backyard. Some chickens aren't going to care. Some of them are going to be terrified. You know, the chickens usually are going to feel safest in their coop. So your horse might feel safer in its stall. Some of them might be feeling, you know, more comfortable in the pasture. either place that they go, though, you just want to make sure the fences are all intact and that they're safe. You don't want to have them escaping and running down the street or getting lost because they're so frantic that they just keep running, you know?
Someone texted in, and I did not know this. They said, do you know they make noise-canceling headphones for cats and dogs with no meds needed? Is that a real thing, noise-canceling headphones for animals?
Yes. So they make these thunder shirt vests that can be like a warm hug. They make earmuffs. They make calming caps. So the calming cap can either go over their eyes as well as their ears and like kind of tighten it down. But dogs do have very good sense of hearing, and so it's not always the be-all, end-all, you know?
So it may not cancel the noise. It might reduce it for them. And then you got to know if your dog is willing to wear headphones. Some dogs, maybe they're more amenable to that, maybe not so much. Here in Greater New Orleans, since so many of our pets wear Mardi Gras costumes and participates in parades, maybe you can put headphones on them. I guess you got to know your pet.
Correct. And if you go ahead and start it when there's not a scary event, they're usually more amenable to it, right? They're usually like, okay, I'll wear this Mardi Gras outfit. This is going to be a fun day versus like, uh-oh, she's whipping out the headphones. Here come the fireworks, you know?
Gotcha. Dr. Guichard, anything else you want to share with us on this 4th of July as we talk about making sure our pets are okay as we get ready for the onslaught of fireworks tonight?
No, but I hope everyone has a wonderful July 4th.
Thank you so much. Thanks for joining us. Dr. Claire Guichard, veterinarian with Lakeview Veterinary Hospital. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. Going to see what you're texting us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line at 504-260-1870 coming up next. And we'll get back to playing some of your favorite patriotic music as we're trying to make. I know a lot of you are working, and that's why you've got the radio on today. And so you're not getting to enjoy the holiday, but at least maybe we can bring you some patriotic music and some good discussion. We're back after this. Yeah, one of your favorite, most patriotic songs, and appropriate that we play Chicken Fried Now as we welcome in Chef Kev, Kevin Belton, chef at WWL-TV. Happy 4th of July, Chef Kev.
Same to you. Great song, man. Great song. Yeah.
makes you just feel American. And I wanted to have you on today because, A, we love talking to you on holidays and giving people tips about what to eat, but also maybe some American meals we can talk about. You know, on my normal show, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. the other day, we spent the hour talking about what foods people felt were most American. You know, the hot dog, we were just talking about 150 million hot dogs will be eaten across the country today alone, and something about the hot dog has become identified with America. Other people said it was hamburgers, pork and beans, steak. Some people did say fried chicken, but it was kind of across the gamut. If I asked you, what do you think is the most American food? What makes you feel most USA when you eat it? Do you have an answer for that?
You know, I look at the foods that served in ballparks. You know, look when you go to a baseball game at a stadium.
I think you're onto something.
Dogs, it's popcorn and stuff like that. And the only thing that's missing, they always some of them will have soft serve ice cream, but you know, why not make some pie or something to go on? With that ice cream.
Well, you know the old commercial for Chevy, hot dogs, apple pie. Were the two things that they identified as being American. Baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. Apple pie is very American. I think that's a good one. What tips do you have for folks who are getting ready to enjoy the 4th of July and maybe make a great meal to go along with it?
Well, you know, beef prices are up. So, you know,
record
look
high,
at chicken. Look at chicken. I mean, if you take olive oil, or if you don't have olive oil, use a little vegetable oil, some lemon juice, put in some herbs in that, put the chicken in that to marinate, throw it in the refrigerator, let it marinate for a while, at least an hour or two if you can, just to give some flavor. And if you don't have all of those ingredients, you could do something as simple as like the Italian dressing. You know, poke the chicken, poke a couple of holes in the chicken, take a knife, sharp knife. If a lot of people like the leg quarters, you know, the leg and thigh attach with the skin
I'm a dark
on.
Meat man, me. Yeah, I love legs and thighs.
Yeah. Poke them. Take a sharp knife, poke holes in the meat and the skin, and then throw that in a Ziploc and marinate that for a couple hours before you put it on the grill. You know, and the other great thing is, a lot of people don't realize you can do desserts on the grill I mean, anything from pound cakes to grilling fruits. Of course, people do peaches and pineapples and things like that, but a nice firm banana, you throw that banana on the grill and then throw that in a bowl with some ice cream on it and make a banana split with that from that grill flavor.
Grilled banana split. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. What else? You said or?
And just like when you're cooking on the grill with food, when you do your fruits, you want to make sure you clean the grill really good. You know,
clean the grates.
Clean the grates really good, you know, so that way things won't stick. But, you know, it's also great, and we have tons of, everybody has cast iron pan, you know. Get you a can of biscuits, throw some butter in that cast iron pan, put it on the grill, throw those biscuits down in there. Throw some frozen fruit. You could, or if you have fresh fruit, cut it up, throw it in, sugar, some butter, bake that baby, and make
making
like a
cobbler on the grill. I like that.
Yeah.
And cobbler to me screams America. I think that sounds like a nice American dessert, whether it's a peach cobbler or an apple cobbler. What makes a cobbler a cobbler? What is the difference between a cobbler and a pie? What technically makes something a cobbler?
I think the fact that the dough can be kind of on top, in the middle, on the bottom, where, you know, you think of a pie, in the pie show, you got the filling, you
so
know, where some people put
a
crust on the
okay.
top. Yeah. With a cobbler, you know, I always kept biscuits in the fridge because I never knew when the boys would have friends over. So I kept frozen blueberries in the freezer. I'd throw those biscuits down in a buttered baking dish, throw those frozen berries on top of them, and I just kind of take my hand and kind of press them down a little bit, throw some sugar on top of that, take a stick of butter, cut it up, throw it on, and then throw that in the oven and bake it.
Nice. All right. Yeah, I guess the kids love to come over to your house because you're visiting with the boys, the Belton boys. You
yeah.
come over, and Chef Kev's going to make you something really good to eat. So
yeah, yeah. But, right. you know, the other thing, you know, we mentioned about the beef prices being so high. This coming Tuesday on the news, I'm going to make some chicken burgers. And if you ever use ground chicken to make burgers, one of the secrets is you want to saute some onions first to mix in with it to give it more flavor inside.
Okay, so I do, when I make my hamburgers, I mix dry onion soup mix in with the ground beef. And so
yeah,
you're going to make burgers out of ground chicken with sauteed onions mixed into the burgers.
I'm going to caramelize some onions first and then mix that in to the ground chicken.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good to me. I'll be absolutely trying that. Tasty. You know, I've been on a sausage kick lately. One of my boys got tired of the same old andouille sausage all the time that we eat and love.
Yeah.
And occasionally we'd mix it up with some green onion andouille. But they got into sausage adventurism, if you will. And so I've kind of jumped onto that bandwagon now and have been finding some great sausages with pineapple in them, with maple
yeah.
Syrup in them, with jalapeno peppers in them, really into these flavored sausages. So give me some good sausage ideas on this 4th of July.
Now, a friend of mine that loves to take those fresh sausages like that, those won't be smoked. Those will be fresh sausages, so you got to make them cooked all the way through. He'll put them in a pot of beer and boil them first and then put them on the grill to get that skin crispy.
Okay.
But
all the alcohol boils out, so you're not going to get drunk off of your sausage, and you can feed it
yeah,
to the kids
yeah.
as well. Yeah, I knew someone who did that with their bratwurst. They would boil their bratwurst in beer. And then grill
yeah.
it on the grill.
And if you don't want to do it in beer, you could do it in a little chicken stock. That's fine. Matter of fact, if you are grilling today, throw a little chicken stock in a spray bottle. All right, and that way when you're grilling, so it won't dry out. You're basting with flavor. You're basting with chicken stock. or vegetable
chicken
stock, either one.
Spray bottle. All right, just spritz that chicken stock on there as the grill goes on to keep everything moist and without drying out. See, if you don't check in with Chef Kev, you don't know these pro tips here on WWL. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to play Chef Kev's. We're going to see if we can get him to pick his favorite patriotic song and maybe play it when we come back from this, and we'll continue the conversation of how to have the best 4th of July meal. We've talked about desserts. We've talked about some of the main courses. What about sides? We'll get Chef Kev to give us some suggestions for great side dishes on this 4th of July after this. Yeah, a little James Brown making us feel patriotic on this 4th of July. We're planning our menu for our 4th of July meal. Chef Kev is with us. A lot of people are probably taking that food to go with them wherever they're heading out to watch fireworks today. A lot of people want to put food outside so they can enjoy the fireworks that they're setting off in the front yard. And so, Chef Kev, we talked a little bit about what people can grill. You gave us some dessert suggestions. What about some snack and side dish ideas on this 4th of July?
You know, if you're going to put the grill on, I love doing this. I will throw some corn on the grill, get it marked really good, get a pot of water going on the hot side of the grill, throw a little chicken stock in it, start cooking some grits. Take that corn, once it's grilled, cut it off the cob, throw that corn in those grits, and have that grilled corn in those grits and make like a corn grits, and throw some cheese in there. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
That's all you need.
All right. Yeah. All right. I like that. Because typically when we do the corn on the cob, we actually just take it, leave it in the husk, and put it on the grill and just roll it around on the grill for about 20 minutes to get all sides hot. And then the problem is that so much steam and heat inside of that husk, you got to be careful when you rip the husk off of it after that. But then we do like a street corn, and we'll put butter and Tony's and all kinds
there
of different stuff, drip it over that corn. But I like the corn and grits idea as well on this 4th of July. Corn, very American. You know, in fact, most of the world – outside of North America, they don't really eat corn the way we do. So if you're thinking of a truly American food, I think that's one that goes back to our forefathers and the original settlers, that they learned from the Native Americans about corn, and then that became something that they enjoyed here. So there's an American food. What else you got?
Corn. You know, the corn, I always, and I've made mac and cheese on the grill.
Really? How do you do that?
Throw it in a pan, mix it all together, and just put it in a cast iron skillet. You can mix it all together in a bowl, put it in a cast iron skillet, and just bake it out there. The other thing I've done, I've taken, like, if you cooking ribs or chicken and things like that, and you're cutting it up, all those little scraps, I throw those scraps from the grill into the mac and cheese.
Ooh.
So you might have scraps of ribs in there. You might have scraps of pieces of chicken in there. You could even throw some shrimp in there. But, yeah, go ahead and bake that bad boy like we were talking about, like that doing the cobbler on the grill. You could do that mac and cheese, and it picks up that little bit of a smokiness.
Yeah, no, I like that. That's like adult beefy mac. You know, when you think about as a kid, sometimes you'd have hamburger meat in your mac and cheese, or even little sliced up hot dogs in your mac and cheese. But you've just taken it to a whole nother level. We're putting rib meat in the mac and cheese. We're putting pulled pork in the mac and cheese. We can put just about anything in that mac and cheese and bake it on the grill.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're boiling the noodles and getting them the elbows ready beforehand.
Yeah, have your noodles already boiled. I always make a little bechamel, just basically a butter and flour roux, add a little milk to it, throw my cheese into that, and then mix that in with your macaroni that's already cooked, and just put it in a skillet and mix those meats in. I'll put those meats on top.
Yeah, I think you have just opened up a whole new world for me, because I've never really thought about making anything at home with the mac and cheese. But now you've just opened up a whole new set of ideas of meals that I'm going to prepare in the coming days and weeks, of new baked mac and cheese with different meats and other things in there. Because really, you can't go wrong adding just about anything to your macaroni and cheese.
No. Not at all. You know, like when we slice roast beef, we have those debris sandwiches down here in New Orleans. Well, think about when you put that barbecue on a cutting board, and maybe you're cutting those chicken legs and thighs, or maybe you're slicing the breast, or you're slicing the ribs. There's always little pieces of meat that fall off.
Yes, debris mac and cheese of all sorts.
Yes, yes. Now you get in the picture. Yeah.
All right. Chef Kev, I hope you have a fantastic 4th of July. Eat well and share the food with others. Celebrate Independence Day. And we'll be looking for you Tuesday morning on WWL-TV, making those chicken and caramelized onion burgers. Mmm.
Same to you, brother. You have a good 4th, all right? We appreciate all you do.
Chef Kev here on WWL. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about eating and drinking with Ian McNulty, as Tommy does every Friday morning. This will be no exception. It may be the 4th of July, but we can't stop the McNulty invasion after the news on WWL.